longer.
Should have to have a laugh.
Dear, we mustn't start with laughing.
No, no.
It doesn't hurt, does it? No.
No, no.
Right, so this is Shirley Driver interviewing. Right, hopefully we're ready to start now. This is Shirley Driver interviewing Euphine Brummell at Halsey Manor in the library on the 16th of April 2015. Okay, that's it right so far, haven't
yes,
I?
So yes.
Right. So, can I start by asking you then when and where you were born?
I was born in Seaton in Devon.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to Seaton in Cornwall, Seaton in Devon.
In Seaton in Devon, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Well, we went fishing a little while ago. And when were you born?
1946.
Oh, right. After the war.
Yes.
And then, this sounds a little bit rude, really, but we're asked to ask you, what did your parents do?
My mother was originally in service, as they used to say.
Oh, yeah.
And then in latter years she worked as a nurse on the ambulance with the St John's and Red Cross ambulance, because it was volunteers then.
Mm-hmm.
My father was a master butcher, slaughterman,
mm-hmm.
By trade. In latter years he drove the mobile library. He was the first one to drive a mobile library in the East Devon area.
Mm-hmm.
And he also drove the ambulances.
Right. Well, I was a sort of volunteer, yeah. When they used to call them up, yes, the part-time people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. All nice sort of community stuff then. Mm-hmm. Right. So, what was your route to being interested in folk?
Oh, the route to being interested in folk started way back in school, actually. Because I went to the Honiton Secondary Modern School, we had a teacher there who was very interested in folk dance, who was very connected to Margaret Grant, and she was called Margaret Roach. And we had a folk dance team at the school, which used to dance at Sidmouth Folk Festival and at the Albert Hall.
Great.
So that was my route into folk. Then I did the normal things of going to college and doing formal education, like A-levels or GCSEs and A-levels and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Got married and went to Plymouth to live, being a service wife. I had been taught to play the piano when I was 7 to 14, gave it up when I was 14, but I took up the accordion when I went to Plymouth, and then sort of got involved with folk people at clubs and bands and picked their brains as to how to play this thing, because I could read the music, but I couldn't, with the right hand, but I couldn't, what was the bass doing, was all alien.
Mm.
So that meant I got involved with dance clubs in Plymouth. Was founder member of Country Dance Plymouth. And around about 1972, was involved sort of with going to Southwest Region folk people and getting Devon folk and that, because I was secretary. And mm-hmm. then we ended up coming on a Hugh Rippon weekend for young people, which seems a long time ago now.
When we had some.
Yeah, when we were young, at Halsey Manor.
Oh, right.
So we had a weekend here for, it was up to 29 years of age, and I was around about 27. I was one of the oldest of the young people, if you know what
yes,
I mean.
Yes,
and I came here then with Hugh Rippon on a young people's weekend, and that was the beginning of folk, because the reason we got back into folk was when we went to Plymouth, my first husband and I, we were broke, desperately broke, and we saw a folk club, the dance club advertised, and it was only 10p each, so it was 20p. And we just about managed that, and we hadn't been out for a long time, so we decided we'd go.
Great.
And they wrote my first husband into being a Morris dancer, and I went back to dancing with him as well for social dancing. Oh. And that's how it all stemmed up on then to the new clubs and then on to Halsey.
Yes, great. So,
And then it's been coming since 1972.
Gosh, yes, so that's quite some time then, isn't it?
Yes, yes, it's quite some time. Sometimes it feels very short and other times longer.
Yes.
But, no.
So, yes, that was after. Who were the managers in that there in 72?
Well, Donald and Marjorie Hunt had just given up, but they were still around because I did meet them.
So the influence was still there.
Yeah, they were still around. I did meet them, and I think at that point was it Ruth and Mike Cavill.
Right.
Were the managers at that point. And if you want to go through managers, then I will say the next ones I remember are the Greens, Bruce and Betsy.
Yes, yes.
Following that, I can't remember. We had a succession of managers, one of which was a chap called Mr. H, and one of which was Joe, whose arms always appeared too short for his jacket, and I nicknamed him Mr. Penguin. He's not around now to know that. And then we had others in between. There was the later ones, ending up with me being on the board of directors, which interviewed Paul that's just left or just gone.
Mm-hmm.
I interviewed him 4 or 5 years ago when he started on the board of directors to come. So I've sort of seen all the managers come and go, including... We did sack one on Christmas Day.
Who on Christmas Day?
We sacked one on Christmas Day.
Oh, right.
The board had an extraordinary meeting up in room, what was room 13, the big room upstairs, with Martin Lang, because we'd only had 3 Brussels sprouts on Christmas Day for Christmas lunch. And there was 7 directors, Eileen Palmer, myself, Martin Lang, a few others, I can't remember now who was there. But we had this meeting over with a bottle of whiskey, I think, in hand. And it was decided that he had to go, and his wife. And Martin and Jenny took over the running of the Christmas house party and the New Year house party from then on until we got a new manager. I think Malcolm and Jean Bowman were also there at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... A typical lurch.
One of the typical lurches that we've had. Yes, we do tend this. I've never failed to be amazed that this has been run by volunteers for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
I know we've got paid staff to do the sort of housekeeping part of it.
Yes.
But to be run by volunteers in a business world of today and to keep it afloat is actually no mean feat.
No.
And that, so it's always been that way. But of course, volunteers are not always they're not always the best trained and not always got the expertise that's needed. No. But because they're interested in folk and interested in the place as a whole, then they want to be involved. And that, I mean, sometimes mistakes get made or things don't quite work out. But it always seems to work out in the end.
As long as the goodwill is there, right?
The goodwill's... Yes. Well, that's the other amazing part of this place, is the amount of people who have supported it with goodwill and financially over the years never fails to amaze me.
No.
You know, it's just amazing how people have always done that.
Mm. So people do value it, don't they?
They do. They do value it.
Yes. We really are extraordinarily lucky, aren't we?
But we are.
It takes some dedication and, yeah.
It takes a lot of dedication to run this place.
Mm-hmm.
you know. Mm. I mean, over the years that I've come here, I've, in the earlier years when we had hiccups with managers and that, I've made beds and washed all the dishes and cleared tables, waited on table.
Yes.
Even served the Christmas Day lunch 1 year.
So,
not lunch, the buffet in the evening, because the manager, well, it was Malcolm and Jean, they were dead on their feet. And I was on the director's board then, as we call it. It was the council management at the time.
Yes.
They were dead on their feet. They really couldn't go on, and sent them home and said, look, you go home. They said, well, who's going to serve? I said, I will, and Alan, my husband, and we stood behind and said, I'm quite capable of serving salad and cold fish and meat and that. And we sent them home so they could have Christmas evening at home and put their feet up. But that was...
Yeah.
Don't know whether I was supposed to do that. Didn't have any of the hygiene certificates that now you have to have. You could... You're breaking a law sometime or another now.
But somehow, you know, we have to be legal and all the rest of it, but...
Well, we do have to be legal, but...
We have to be a bit flexible sometimes, don't we?
Needs must sometimes.
Yes.
I mean...
Golly.
Well, the volunteer work that around here, I mean, besides being on the council management and the directors... For around about 30 years, I seemed to be doing about 10 years, and then for some reason, I wouldn't get on to the council, wouldn't be on the council. The first time I didn't get on to the council, I had a year out, I always remember this, as it came to a vote, and it was between Jeff or I myself, and I lost by one vote.
Oh dear. So well, at least it shows there was competition. That's good and healthy, isn't it?
Well, I had 1 year off. Mm-hmm. And then when I came back, it didn't seem as if I had any time off. Then I was on it for around about another 9 or 10 years, and you'd have to check the records for that. And I decided that I'd done 20 years and that was enough. And then there was things happening which I didn't like. And I've always been a great believer in if you don't like something, then you must put your money where your mouth is. And that's the only way to do it here, is to get involved and be on in a position where you can check and say, don't agree with that, and do something about it. So I came back on the board. So that was my last stint, and that's been about 7 years, 8 years, something like that again. And I have now retired from the board. At the moment. Now, I'm hoping gracefully to stay in the background now. I think I've done a fair amount of... I only hope that I've never held the board back by being old-fashioned and hanging on to the past and not letting it move forward. I don't think I have, but there is always the danger as you get older not to say, oh, we didn't never done it that way and this is not the right
not
way.
Not like it used to be.
No. I only hope that I've never done that and I've never stopped it from moving forward and gone with what I've hoped has been the right way forward. And reminded the board of what we have done and what might have been tried before and hasn't worked.
No.
Just to make sure that they were aware of it, even if they went down that path. They didn't always go down the same path.
But sometimes it takes a long time to reinvent the wheel, doesn't it?
Yeah, so I've done that. Mm-hmm. So that was the board side of it, which was very interesting.
Yes.
And I've learnt lots and lots of things about business because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Folk side, well...
What were your most enjoyable things here, for your own pleasure, or for the...
We played for a Christmas house party a couple of times, which was great. We really enjoyed that Christmas. Hard work, really hard work to play for a whole weekend. I don't think people realise how hard a work it is playing for a weekend and that. We played... that Christmas house party is a little bit more lenient because it was 4 days and unlike weekends they didn't try and squeeze everything into 2 days.
Not so pressurized but still lots of people
the first one that I really enjoyed it, but I was disappointed. There was a tinge of sadness with it because It was a folk week's holiday week we were doing, and it was supposed to be with John Chapman,
mm-hmm.
who, as you know, all know now, is passed on.
Mm-hmm.
But he was taken ill and couldn't come, and I was left at 4 o'clock on the Saturday afternoon thinking I've got no caller for the week. And I managed to ring Peter Moxon.
All right.
And Peter Moxon came at the last minute and took the whole week with us, which was very enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
I was just disappointed it wasn't done with John because of the singing calls that John used to do.
Yes.
And we geared up on all the music with the singing calls and that. But, so that was all, that was the playing side of it here at Halsey, which I've really enjoyed. Before that, I used to come and dance with the Willand Square Dance Club and Halsey Club on the Wednesday evenings. I danced here.
Yep.
joined with the Guildford Club here as well and danced. Mm-hmm. And group from the Wirral, Lancashire. Just trying to think of the name of the group, but I can't. Because that was when I met up with our friends from Southport, Owen and Bernard King, who was also a caller.
Mm-hmm.
And that, so I've been on several different, not only local groups that's been here, but several from around mm-hmm. the country.
Yes.
And really enjoyed that. My husband's been very good when I've been on the directors' meetings by keeping himself occupied by painting, fighting with the ivy off the walls, taking it off, or doing things like that.
This is another great value that we have here, isn't it?
The volunteers
who do all sorts of things.
Yeah.
Yes.
Business-wise, one of the other things that I did was a real challenge is that the crockery we had was breaking up. I don't know if you remember the white crockery we had.
Vaguely.
Yeah,
yes.
It was all losing its handles and things like that. And Susan Swan...
Not a high-class establishment.
No, Susan Swan and I were charged with finding a suitable replacement. So for about 3 or 4 months, every time I went out to a pub or a restaurant, I'd be turning the cups up to see what make of catering crockery they were using. Still do sometimes, just out of interest. And we got round to, I found one in the pub down in the South Hams that I thought would suit here. It turned out to be Churchill crockery. Mm-hmm. And I got a sample of it and I got a sample of a couple of others which were possibles. And Susan and I brought them to a board meeting and said, which of those do you like? You've got a choice. And they picked the one I like best, so I'm glad by that. So then I was charged to going off to getting 140 full place settings, including vegetable serving dishes, soup dishes, sauce dishes, salt and peppers, everything, you know? That's a lot of crockery.
Yes.
A lot of crockery. And I had three firms. It was before we had the internet, but faxes were in, and I did have a fax machine.
Mm-hmm.
So I sat in my office in Plymouth, in my house, and I had a firm in Bristol, a firm in Bridgewater, and a firm in Plymouth. And I got them to quote for this, and we started off around £6,500 for all this.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, not paying that. And that was without VAT.
Right.
So, you know, it was a substantial commitment to pay.
Most certainly.
So anyway, I said, no, that you've got to do a better price, and bartered with all three of them, and they all came down, and eventually I got one dropped out, the Bristol one dropped out and left me with Bridgewater and Plymouth, and we were down to about 4,500 then.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I said, that's still not enough, and we got down in the end, we got down to 3,600. And I said, now I'm squeezing a little bit more out of you. And the one from Bridgewater said, I'll give you another 50 off. And the one down in Plymouth said, I'll give you to 3,500, and that's as low as I'm going. And the other one had said the same. So I thought, I think I've squeezed them enough. So we settled for the one from Plymouth. So 3,500 we paid for the crockery.
Mm-hmm.
And it was delivered a week later. And of course, then logistically, all the crockery that the manor was using was in the cupboard, which had to come out, yeah, because we had all this new crockery, which all had to be washed. Mm-hmm. So we stood in the kitchen, Susan Swan, myself and my husband Alan, put it all through the dishwasher, took the old crockery out and put it all in the new back.
Gosh.
It was a lot of work one day. It took us a whole day to do it.
I bet.
It did.
So it's quite a quantity, isn't it?
It was.
Mm. That's not what we're still using, is it?
Yes.
Is it?
Yes. Good. The red and gold.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that was some years ago now. Yes. It's been all right. I know they've replaced a few pieces, but it's been okay.
And that was probably English manufacture at that time.
Probably was.
Mm. Which it wouldn't be now.
I don't know whether Churchill is or not. I'd have to find out. Yeah, so they, yeah, no, it has lasted. I come here every time and I think, oh, good, they haven't changed the chart. Other bargaining, bartering thing I did was the gates, which need doing again, I see. At the end of the drive, we wanted to have them painted and spruced up.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a couple of people to come in and quote. And one bloke was, he didn't turn up on the Saturday, and then he phoned me on the Sunday and said he was late. Anyway, he did turn up and he quoted me, I don't know, £3,000, and I thought, you don't want the job, that's what that is. Because another chap came and he quoted me £900 to do the same work.
Mm-hmm.
But it had bitumen on the gates, they were covered in a sort of bitumen tar.
Right. Which all to had stop to them be, rusting.
Well, I presume so, but they all had to be sandblasted off to paint it, you see, because paint wouldn't take it.
No.
Well, for a start, the other one said, oh, we'd take them out of situ. Well, hang on, you can't lift those wrought iron gates off of the posts. The posts won't stand it for a start if you do that. And the other chap said he'd do it all in situ, which he did. He did those and the small gates that go to the water garden and I don't think they've been done since, but that was £900. No. I enjoyed bartering that.
Yes, yes, you're a good buyer.
That was one of it.
Yes. But I mean, it's not all dancing and pleasure here. There's no end of other skills that are valued.
Well, if you come here just as a client to come and dance and play and sing and that's fine. Got no problem with that, because that's carrying on the aims of the society and it's what we were here for.
Yes.
But in saying that, the running of the manor is an essential and integral part to that, because the ambience of this place actually adds to doing the music and the dance and the song.
Certainly.
And having stayed here when it's empty, totally empty, nobody else in here, besides myself and my husband, it's a totally different place when it's empty.
Oh, yes, yes.
Absolutely, totally.
I've done it.
Yes, so that's the way it is. I mean, so I've got no problem with people who just want to come and do their dancing and singing and song and support us by being here and coming more than once most times in the year. But I also enjoyed the other side of it, which I did in my earlier days when I could dance and sing and play and that. But I've also enjoyed the work to keep the manor and the business running so that people can come and do that.
Yes.
And that's been a pretty good way of helping the manor in past years, that when you're not quite so fit and able.
No, I mean, that is quite an aspect of this place, isn't it?
Mm.
That if quite a lot of people come by themselves and might be a bit lonely or something, but the fact that volunteers, whatever people have got to offer, are valued, quite often that cements the relationship a bit, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I think of the number of carpenters that I've known that have done an awful lot here and lesser things than that as well.
Mm. Oh, yes. I mean, it's just been a wonderful experience. It's been a part of my life for a long time.
Yeah.
Wonderful experience. I wouldn't ever say I regret it doing any of it.
No.
There have been times when I thought, why am I doing this? But then I think that applies to everybody.
Yeah.
Especially when, you know, you've got up at the crack of dawn to come and help to do something like play for the open fates that we've had in June and and that, and you've travelled 100 miles to get here, and then it's raining and you wonder why you were actually doing this and numbering equipment across a lawn that's wet. I mean, one of the celebration events was, there were two that I remember, both run by Malcolm Bowman, the 25th and the 35th wedding, not wedding, anniversary events here.
Mm-hmm.
And on one of them, we had a marquee on the croquet lawn. And there was a dance floor laid in the marquee. Well, the firm that laid the dance floor had no idea what a dance floor should be like. It was like being on a side of a mountain and higgly piggly. And Malcolm Bowman, bless his cotton socks, got down along with my husband later on because he saw Malcolm doing it, took the floor up and relaid it so that people could dance properly.
Yes.
You know, yeah. I mean, that's the sort of thing that people who are volunteers here, who work here, it's not only if they work here, they seem to become volunteers and come back. They never leave it. They get bitten by a bug. You know, that's the sort of thing they do. They come back. And my memories of running the Young Musicians Weekend with the youngsters here, totally different kettle of fish to having it with older people in, the more mature clients, but young musicians, well, that again was a wonderful experience of having 30 youngsters here with no parents, just house parents and tutors.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder what I took on now thinking about it.
How often did you do that?
Did it for about 7 years.
Right.
Once a year.
Mm-hmm.
They were from 11 to 17, 18. It was a little bit discretionary.
Yes.
If I, you know, I had, it was my say if they came or not.
Yes.
Because I was organising it.
Mm-hmm.
I looked after with my team of house parents. I've got to say, I looked after it with a team of house parents because I had about 8 house parents to look after 32 youngsters.
Yeah.
And it would have been running longer than that had it not been for the council of the day deciding that we could manage with 2 sets of house parents.
Oh.
And I wouldn't accept the responsibility.
No. This was during term time?
No, it was holiday time.
Right.
Holiday time, they used to turn up. One girl, she turned up with her parents. Oh, she wasn't going to stay. She cried. I don't want to be left here. I cry. Oh, she cried. She cried and she cried. And her parents said, don't worry about her. When we're gone, she'll turn. And they drove out the drive. And the next thing I know, she's gone upstairs. She's changed her dress and she's out on the wall in the model pose for the photography, because there's boys around, don't forget. Yes. We're a mixed group.
Yes.
And yes, thinking I've got to keep an eye on you for the weekend. but
that's a lot of youngsters, isn't it, who presumably were introduced to folk or
well, the interesting part about that was one of them was Will Lang.
Oh really?
One of them was Will Lang.
Oh.
Who, as you know, has recently been on the board and is not on the board now because he's decided to use his skills in other ways, but is still connected to the manor.
Yes.
And he was about 8 when he came, to 8 to 10 when he came on that Young Musicians, because his brother was one of the tutors.
Oh, right.
So that's why Will was around, but I can remember when he says about things here and I'm thinking, yes, young Will, I can remember when you used to get up to that.
Yes.
So it's...
That's lovely, because that's ongoing. We just need so much of this, don't we?
Well, yes, he's come back, and that has been what really has, you know, made my day, that sort of thing.
Yes, yes. That's really great.
So,
do you want to rest for a minute? Sorry, are you... So... Oh, that's good then. Have you got any more to tell us about?
Probably tell you a little bit more.
Yes.
When I first came here, obviously the Muse wasn't bedrooms.
Nice.
And then they turned it into some bedrooms, and ensuiting was talked about, and some was done, and then the Brendan room was talked about, converting that into a conference room. So that was quite an interesting week with Brian Heaton, Alan Corquette, my husband Alan, and Derek Byron.
Mm-hmm.
We, I can always remember that there was a toilet which stuck into the Brendan room. Yeah, and we had to knock the wall down and take that out to make it a square room. Then we put the hammer through the wall and out fell all this vermiculite. It went everywhere. Oh,
you know what?
Vermiculite.
Oh, vermiculite.
It's like yes. The polystyrene yes. stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it just fell out of the wall. It was full of vermiculite from ceiling to floor. And we put it out back there and it all just went... And so we did that and helped. Well, we all worked hard for the week because the digger driver, Daggy Edwards, came in at 6:30 on the Monday morning and dug the trench across the lawn to put the sewer drain in,
mm-hmm.
which Derek was more in charge of because he was the one who had the skills for the intersections and that for drainage.
Mm-hmm.
But on the Wednesday, there was a photographer came round who was very disconcerted. He'd come to look at where to take the photographs for the wedding that he was going to be photographing on Saturday. And he found all these piles of earth across the lawn because we hadn't backfilled the trench at that point. And he was a bit concerned, but we did finish it by 5:00 on the Friday.
Gosh.
And it was all done, so he could take his photographs and all the lawn was reinstated. But the toilet under the stairs in the mews was a bit of a laugh. Nobody saw this, only myself and my husband. We had to put the hole through the wall for the drainage again. My husband's not a small person, and he's down under the second stair, you know, under the stairwell,
mm-hmm.
knocking the hole out to go out through the wall. And, of course, there's nowhere for the earth to go because the stairs are coming down, so he can only do but push it back between his legs as he's kneeling there, and I'm behind him with a shovel, shoveling it into the wheelbarrow. No, I'm not small either, and in that cupboard was definitely not small. So that was the sort of things that we'd done on some of the projects that we've had. But as I say, yes, projects like the China, the gates, and doing the Brendan room, and
yeah.
making decisions like whether the wall hangings should contain things and different designs and all, looking at that. It's all been part of parcel of the fun. But one of the things that I think I will always remember, and I must try and find this to let them be passed on, is I came here a couple of Christmases, both with my parents and my husband's parents and my brother as well, who had learning difficulties. And stayed, and my mother actually wrote some poems with regard to those events that she was at, and I must try and find them. To
be nice to those as a result.
Yeah,
nice.
So I will try and find those and pass mm-hmm. them on. She wrote a lot of poetry. My mother was the poet, not me.
Right.
I'm the musician, she was the poet.
Mm-hmm. Did you set any of the poems to music?
Yes, she did.
Oh, right.
My first wedding, she wrote a hymn for my first wedding,
mm-hmm.
and it was set to music. And she also wrote a Christmas carol called Carolling Winds. And a lady called Sheila Sibley, who used to play with the yes. Woodpeckers band,
yes.
who also used to come here,
yes.
She wrote the tune to go with it.
Uh-huh.
And I still got the tune and I still got the words.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Carolling Winds, so... That wasn't necessarily to do with Halsey, but it was all connected, you know, with
yes,
the folk world and that.
Yes.
So
mm-hmm.
I feel that, I miss the place when I don't come, but I know that it's time for me to take a back seat and let somebody else go on with it. But I'm quite happy to do telling tales and interview people, so I'm still involved
right.
in it.
Yes, yes,
it's
yes.
It's a less of an yes. arduous duty, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's...
Yes, yes.
That.
Lots of us are sort of getting on now, but there are things that we can still come and do, aren't there?
There are.
Yes, yeah.
There
they
are.
Don't have to be sort of that physically have you?
No, I'll... I really think... I don't know what else. There's so many things. Oh, yes, just my... The other one thing is, of course, that we had our silver wedding party here.
Oh, right.
Which was rather an interesting one because it resulted in a lot of people being invited, which obviously were family and folk friends.
Mm-hmm.
But Will and Folk Dance Club, who we came here with and I was a member of, had an exchange going with the German group from basically a young farmers group in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And at our silver wedding party, which there was 17 Germans and 2 Americans, and all people who had met through the folk dance and who had been here before.
Yeah.
And in fact, the American is coming back this summer, so again, because he's lecturing in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all stemmed around the folk world and coming here. And there was a picture in the back corridor with people with red and blue waistcoats on. Do you remember the young ones? They were taking out on the steps, and that was the German exchange.
Yes.
I don't know what's happened to the picture.
No.
And last week, I had 8 Germans come from the village that because I've stayed friends with them, and they asked to come to Halsey Manor to see it.
Oh, good.
So that was 2015.
Yeah.
And they came last Saturday and had lunch here with tea and coffee and sandwiches mm-hmm. before they went off to Bristol to catch the plane back to Germany. So
mm-hmm.
it's all gone full circle from starting with folk dance clubs and going into coming here and still running folk dance clubs and being involved with the Southwest Regional Council, which used to control the Margaret Grant Library through EFTAS, and it was always never owned by EFTAS. It was controlled by John Clegg and I think it was Bill Rutter in the beginning, and overseen by the South West Council, the area council, which was Margaret Grant and EFTAS district. But when that folded, you know, when EFTAS had their reorganisation thing back in the 90s, was it 80s, 90s, 80s, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And the Margaret Grant Library is housed in Halsey.
Mm-hmm.
They decided to pass the control of overseeing it to Halsey Manor.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually on the committee which gave that decision. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a letter that said that. But the manor doesn't own the Margaret Grant Library. It houses it and oversees it, but it's not actually owned here.
Right.
I don't know who does own it now, because it was...
But is it sort of joint with Kennedy now?
No, it wasn't Kennedy. Nothing to do with the Kennedy Library.
Right.
You know, it was just Margaret Grant.
Mm.
As I said, it was...
a great resource.
Yes, obviously, and I can't see anybody else wanting to have it apart from Halsey, and that's where it belongs.
Mm.
You know. But that's the history. It came via the South West Area Council to here, and they didn't own it. They only oversaw it, and the same situation was set up for the council here.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, in time to come, people will lose that. That's a bit of history. It, by default, it will become property of Halsey, right?
Sorry?
By default, it will become property of Halsey because it's been here. It's housed here.
To just physically... have somewhere to put it would be a problem,
it's
wouldn't
not,
it?
I mean, this is not big enough anyway.
No.
I mean, you said about people doing things like the bookcases have been made by Graham Coggins down in
Watchet. Yes.
So he made those and did that. So.
Right down to our... Oh, no, that's not permanent, but right down to our golden bunting for the Golden Jubilee.
Now you've answered the question. Now you've answered the question, why have we got the bunting around?
Oh, right, yes.
I haven't realised what was the significance.
Oh, yes. Well, we tried to collect together as much gold-type material as we could. And there have been many metres of it done, actually. It's,
I guess there has, because it's all in the lounge.
Yes, and along the drive and outside as well. Yes, we've spent some Tuesdays doing that. A group of us.
I think I'm drying up.
You're drying up. Mm-hmm. What? Yes. Yeah. I mean, what do you? I mean, we've got all these plans, but for the development, but that's a long way off yet. But what do you think is the most important thing to, in your opinion, to sort of keep Halsey healthy? And
I wish we could have some young people coming in, more young people than we've got.
Yes.
But in saying that, it's not a state that's assigned to Halsey. A lot of organisations are suffering the same fate, that young people don't want to participate, belong to clubs, do things. It seems to be general among clubs and activities.
Yeah,
there are a lot of them that they're trying to get other people, young people in. Mm. So I would like to, firstly, I would like to see some more young people here.
Right.
I obviously would want the manor to continue. I would like to think it could continue in by expanding, but I hope that by expanding it doesn't lose the ethos of what it stands for or the ambience of the building.
Mm.
I understand all too well the problems around physically feeding people, housing, sleeping people with the building that we've got and with the rules and regulations of a modern, up-to-date, current world, which makes it difficult. But on the other hand, to have an extension which is going to cost mega money and I'm not sure where they're going to get it all from, is, and in the end, will it enhance the building? It all depends how it's perceived by people, and I can't read that. And I can only hope that it will be perceived in the right way and that it won't be detrimental, because people love the banner as it is, for all its quirkiness and not always having ensuite bathrooms and not always having, you know, proper things to move the tables. And that's part of the charm. If you move that and have a separate dining room, does it lose something? Mm-hmm. It's a very difficult question, and I really wish the board well in trying to answer these questions of going on and how they expand, because they do need to expand to keep the income coming in.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. Mm-hmm. I wish them well. I think it's a very difficult problem for them to solve, and there's probably no right or wrong answer.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably got to be a compromise, and hopefully would like to think that this place is still hosting traditional folk dance in 100 years' time. Mm-hmm. Or at least another 50 to do 100 years.
Yes. Oh, well, thanks very much then, Euphine. That's
a pleasure.
Interesting, yes. Well, I hope so as well. Thank you.